Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you to all this episode tonight, I am bubbling over with joy because tonight we will continue our new study from the book of Luke. Now, this study will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. And it will present his allegory of the Son of God and give us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to his end of life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in his book written by Luke. Now, I want to remind you that all lessons and instructions are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible and that you have your Bible sources open and your devices or laptops ready and Bible apps or regular Bibles and have your pens and pencils for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers, comments, or inquiries if you may have any. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, like I always do, to thank you, those especially of you that have taken time to give me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you so much, my precious brothers and sisters. Before we ended the last show, I was giving a drill on the Sabbath rest, and I just want to complete the thought before we go any further. Now, the drill or the exercise was not identifying what is traditionally known as the Sabbath rest. We're not talking about days or times, but this is the exercise. The drill is this. The Sabbath means the amount of time you spend doing the exercise. And the rest, R-E-S-T, means doing the work of God. So the Sabbath rest simply means doing what God says to do in the scriptures for a specific amount of time, like praying. To him, that would be your Sabbath rest, doing his will. And the more time or the longer you do it, the more you benefit. So that is what that is being identified. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, for a moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. That was Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 and 8. Now, the promise is that the mercies that will come to you if you hang in there during this time that you think that God may be forsaking you. God said, "Let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory, glory in this, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, say the Lord God Almighty." That's taken from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. So the promise is what God delights in, the loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And if you do not allow the glory of man or the world to get into your way, God said through King David, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." That's Psalms 37, verse 1 through 3. So the promise is that you will be fed if you do not fret yourself because of evildoers and you trust in the Lord. So the question for this hour is again, are you standing on God's promises? Before we start the lesson, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, and the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Okay, let's go to the study. We are in the book of Luke, and we are in instruction number 8. So turn your Bibles or your Bible sources to Luke chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 3 through 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 3 through 13. And the instruction that we're going to be drawing from the context that we read is going to be this. This is how we handle all temptations. That is what we want to focus on as we read the text. This is how we handle all temptations. Now, this is what Luke chapter 4, verse 3 through 13 says. "And the devil said unto Jesus, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that is made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So we know that Jesus is showing us our method of handling temptation is to use scripture. Verse 5, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All power, all will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Now, I'm not going to tell you that I believe that the devil was lying, because Jesus had received all power in heaven and in earth from God before this occurred. Anyway, this is verse 8. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve." Again, Jesus is showing us that to avoid the temptation or to answer or to combat the temptation, we should use scripture. Verse 9 says, "And he brought him," meaning Satan brought Jesus, "to Jerusalem and sat him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee and to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering him said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So we see again, even Satan used scripture to try to dissuade Jesus in the temptation. But Jesus countered with scripture that was more substantial. All right, what we're going to do now is go to our complement, and we're going to see how the Old Testament compares and agrees with this handling of temptation. Now, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Turn your sources or your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, 10 and 11. And this is what God said and determined in that dispensation. We're looking back now, so we're going to get a view of it, but it's not going to be as specific as what we get in the New Testament. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. And this is what it says. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. That's what Adam said. And he said, God said to Adam, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And now we want to go quickly to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and we're going to see why that was. Chapter 2, Genesis, and after the break, we'll continue.
Performance is a word that I don't use very much. Hi, John Maxwell's my name. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Let me tell you why performance is not a word that I use very much. I enjoy going to great performances. I enjoy going to the theater. I enjoy going to musicals and hearing bands. So I enjoy watching people perform. But I think the reason it's not a big word with me is I don't perform. When I think of performance so many times, I think of it as a word that I'm trying to impress you. And that's not really what I try to do. I try to impact people, not impress them. I want friends, not fans. So I don't do a lot of faking it till I make it. I don't do a lot of performing. I just genuinely want to help people and care about people. And I just learned a long time ago, people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I think they don't really care about how much you perform until they know how interested you are in them as a person. When I think of performance, I often think of, look at me, see how good I am. When I think of connection, I think of, I'm looking at you and I see how good you are. I don't perform a lot. I like to go to performances. I just kind of like the authentic lifestyle of genuinely caring for people. I think that beats performance any day. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are looking at this instruction. This is how we handle all temptation, and we saw how Jesus purports it for us today. And now we're looking at where it stemmed from or how God identified it in the Old Testament. We're in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and we know that Adam disobeyed Jesus, or disobeyed God by eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is what God said about avoiding temptation. In verse 16, chapter 2, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So that is the connection, that God identified no temptation to man unless he disobeyed him eating the fruit off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually today in our lives, that basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, is the very best tool for us to utilize. But we have to learn it and apply it for it to be effective. So that's the significance. And Jesus gave us that understanding by using scripture to debunk Satan. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction, instruction number 9. And we're going to go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. And what we're looking at is this instruction. This is what we're going to take from the text we read, the declaration of our ministry. Now, this is what Luke identified as the declaration of our ministry through what Jesus portrayed. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21 says this, "And he came, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, 'Jesus said unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" That is the declaration of Jesus' ministry. Now what we want to do is go to the Old Testament and look at our connection and see the complement, how it compares and agrees with this declaration that Jesus made. And of course, we know that the prophet Isaiah, we're going to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3, and this is what the prophet said about the Messiah hundreds of years before it came to pass. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3. And this is what Isaiah prophesied. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me," or anointed me, "to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that are in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." In verse 3, it tells of the ministry of Jesus being extended to us, my brothers and sisters. We are the priest after Jesus Christ being the high priest of Melchizedek. And he has appointed to us to give to others, as many as we meet and greet, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we will go into the details of that when we get into the book of Isaiah, when we study it. So now this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. The declaration of our ministry should be when we repent of our sins and confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, God, and Savior, usually at our baptism. That is what our personal ministry starts. With that declaration. Okay, if you have any questions or comments, if you're in the chat room, please get them to the host. If not, you know the other mediums you can use to communicate with me by text or by email. We'll go to instruction number 10, and we're going back to the book of Luke. We're going to be reading from chapter 5 in the book of Luke. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 25 in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 17 through 25. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from reading this text. The instruction is, Demonstrating faith is key to our deliverance. Demonstrating faith is key to our deliverance, brothers and sisters. As we read, let's see how Jesus, or it was put in the book of Luke, how Jesus responded to this and identified it. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 25 says this, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching," Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought a man in a bed, which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling and his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, there's the key. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts, whether it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins," he said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy own house." Now, the faith that was generated from that identified or illustrated that not only Jesus, after the break, we'll continue.
When I was at the University of Florida, for every home game, we would get in the bus at our hotel, and we would drive right by the stadium, and we would stop at what's called the Gator Walk. In every game I played there, there was probably 20 to 40,000 fans at this Gator Walk, ready to greet us as we get off the bus. I would see all these people. I gotta tell you, there were a lot of voices that started to hit me. One of the first voices that instantly hit me was pride and arrogance, because I would look out and I would see thousands of jerseys with my number on it. I would look out and I would see Bible verses that they were wearing because I wore them. And so for a second you thought, dang, I'm something. They're here for me. This is pretty cool. I must be somebody. There's a picture that I stumbled across, and it's one of Time's 100 most influential images of all time. And it's a picture of this young girl. She's on her way from her village to a feeding center not far away. And she's so malnourished and she's moving so slow that this vulture is waiting to attack. So the young man that took this picture, I think there was probably something in his heart that he wanted to do good. He wasn't sure. So he captured this picture. And he just waited, and then the vulture got closer. So he kind of shooed the vulture off, and then he walked away, and the vulture would come right back. And he was told, because of some of the sicknesses in the areas, don't touch anybody, don't do anything. And so he didn't. He didn't. He did nothing. Because apparently the cost was too much. So he left. He went back. The New York Times published this photo in 1993. In 94, he won the Pulitzer Prize for this photo. 4 months after this, he chose to end his life. You see, every single one of us, we have a chance to be successful in life. And you know what? I hope you are. I really do. I hope you're successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. But success is just about you. But significance is about other people. You see, that man that took that picture, he had success. That's one of the greatest honors a photographer could ever have. But obviously it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So what's going to be enough for you? You see, success is great. You can do a lot of things with it, but it's not going to be fulfilling. And you can never forget that sense of urgency, that it's not about your timeline, it's about their timeline. While you might have 30, 40, 50 years, they have days, minutes, moments. She had moments, but it wasn't worth it to go pick her up. It wasn't worth it to give her a hug. It wasn't worth it to tell her about the gospel. Yeah, I won a Pulitzer Prize, but what does it matter? What does it matter? It doesn't. And I think the greatest tragedy in life is we're going to look back one day and say, I was successful in things that don't matter. I want you to be successful, but more than anything, I want you to be significant. And when you live for Jesus and you love people, I believe you're going to have a life of significance.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're looking at this instruction, demonstrating faith is our key deliverance. And we just read about what Jesus did for the man that had palsy. Not only because of the faith of his compadres that he forgive him his sins, but he also forgave or cured his palsy. Now what we want to do is go to our complement and see how the Old Testament connects this dot and compares and agrees and points to exactly what Jesus did. Or maybe not verbatim, but it is an inference. We're going back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. We're going to Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, and this is the demonstration of faith that is key to our deliverance. It says, and he brought him forth, meaning that God brought Abraham forth and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, meaning God, so shall thy seed be. That was a promise God made to Abraham. Verse 6 says, and Abraham believed in the Lord. That was Abraham's faith. And this is what God did. God counted it to him for righteousness. So that in itself tells us, and then the rest of the story is that when Abraham was about to slay his son, following the orders or the commandment of God, then his son was not slain because God found that his faith was just as it was in this verse I just read, and he relented from having Abraham take his son's life. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Today, we must say what we believe about Jesus, and then we must do what we say we believe about it. Faith without works is dead. That is what James taught in his book. In fact, to the extent where he said, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my works. That is my faith. So we are to work or walk the talk, as it is said sometimes on the street corners of our country. So, again, I've heard the cliche where I hear you talking, but I see you walking, and you're not walking the way that you're talking. So that's the significance the significance, my brothers and sisters, that I want you to realize. All right? Now we're going to go to instruction number 11. Let us turn our Bibles back to Luke chapter 5, chapter 6. We're going to do Luke chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. And the instruction that we're going to take from this text we're going to read, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what we want to be looking at or thinking about as we read the text. The Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. That is, we're going to read now Luke chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, and this is what it says. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that Jesus went, David went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? So I retract that. David did it, and Jesus is going to answer to that. But Jesus was doing this with his disciples. Verse 3 says, and Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and give also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests? And then he stated to them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, this is so significant because we're in a new dispensation in the era of grace, and Jesus is explaining some of what has expanded or taken from the law and has been expanded upon or revealed in our day, which they didn't have back in the days of the Israelites in Israel. Now what we're going to do is go to our complement and get from the complement where it points to this and explains how significant this Sabbath meant to Israel. And it still does today, my brothers and sisters. In the nation of Israel, the Sabbath day is still considered compulsory, as I'm getting ready to share with you Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. This is where we find out what that commandment of God was in Israel and is over in Israel today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, and this is what it reads. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, I gave you. After the break, we'll continue.
I'm a country boy. I'm from West Virginia. I don't know nothing about this big time stuff. I never even asked to be big. I wanted to be effective, not famous. Famous is the consequences of being effective. I didn't know nothing about being famous, and I didn't like it. And so there I was, and when you first knew, everybody attacks you first and figures you out later. And the first time I was in the Washington Post, the article was so vicious it made me nauseous. I was so shocked that you could say that stuff about somebody you didn't even know based on assumptions and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. They piece it all together, and you don't get the same thing back. So I decided, I don't want this. I was preaching for Pastor Bishop Donnie Mears, and I was nobody knew it because preachers can override their feelings and function. I preached the place was on fire, but inside I wanted to quit. I told God, I'm through with this. I'm not going through this. I don't need this. I don't need that. I'm a guy who likes to go get his own chicken wings. I don't have to have all of that stuff to be happy. So I said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this because I don't need this and I didn't ask for this. I'm only doing this because of what happened in my life, of the circumstances that happened in my life. He put me on stage. I didn't ask for it. And when I saw how much it cost, I thought, you can have that right back here. You can have that right back up in here. I don't need it. I was mad inside, and I was hurt. And I stayed up in the fellowship with the pastors because I didn't want to go back to my room and sulk in my own sorrows. And they said, there's a lady downstairs waiting to see you. The service was over, and the fellowship was over. The pastor was starting to leave. I was trying to outwait her. I thought she'd give up and leave. And when I finally came down the steps, she was there. And she was just a willowy bit of a woman. And she said, Bishop Jakes, she said, I've been in the hospital. She said, I was pregnant in my fallopian tubes. And the baby died in my tubes. And I was carrying around a dead baby. And the toxicity from the baby almost killed me. And she said, the only thing that kept me alive was hearing you preach. She said, if you hadn't been preaching to me every day, I swear I would have died. And then she looked at me and she said, it's for us. It's not for them. It's for us. It hit me so hard. I didn't even get her name. I got in the car and cried all the way back to my room because she reminded me why I was there. Last week when I text you, I was up in Baltimore in D.C. and I was doing a book signing. And this woman came up to the table to buy swords. She said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no. She didn't even look like the same person. She's all dressed up and gained weight. She felt like she wasn't sick. Wow. She said, I met you in the bottom of Donnie Mears' church years ago, and I burst into tears. I lost it. I stopped the signing, and I jumped up and hugged her. If it were not for that woman,
welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction that we're looking at is the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. And what we just read out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, shows how compulsory and mandatory it was in the days of the last that dispensation, how the Sabbath identified not only a day, but how it identified what could not be done during that day. And Israel is still responsible for performing that to this day. But as I gave you the drill, what I want to bring out is that when I gave you the drill on the Sabbath rest, I was talking about the time that you spend in doing God's will. That is considered the exercise I gave you for the Sabbath rest. But now to further explain this being what the Israelites or what God commanded Israel to do back in that dispensation and pointed towards our dispensation where Jesus, who under grace has relieved that, this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually today in our lives, that Jesus Christ is God. And among other things, meaning for health purposes, we as priests cannot do God's work, that we as priests can do God's work on the Sabbath. That's the key. So Jesus is telling us that, of course, we can feed our families and we can, as ministers and evangelists, go to church and do the activities of what is required for the body. That is what this should mean to us today. All right, if you have any questions about that or comments, get them to me so I can hear what you think about what I just shared with you. Now we're going to go to instruction number 12, and we're going to be reading back from the book of Luke, and we're going to read chapter 20 from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 20, from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 20, and this is what the instruction we should take from the reading. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. That is what Jesus told a congregation of people. Sermon on the Mount, you might say. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And that is Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Now, before we connect it to the Old Testament for not amplification, but for comparison and agreement, I want to tell you that Jesus spoke in parables, and we know he declared that. He told his apostles that he would speak to the people in parables because there were those who were among the people that were non-believers. Anyway, this parable or parables is a story that illustrates a moral or spiritual lesson. So blessed be ye poor. The poor that is being identified is not necessarily or is inclusive of being spiritually poor, okay? Now, what we want to do now is go to Leviticus 19, and we're going to see what the Old Testament complement says about this matter. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and verse 10. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. That's where we're reading from, and this is how it connects. This is what the Bible says. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest, but thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard, and thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. So it was strict in the days of Israel in that dispensation that they could not do that and give to the physical poor. Now, what Jesus is talking about, he's including the spiritual poor. And this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives today. That meaning for those who are lacking spiritually and physically in this experience, that Jehovah Jireh, meaning God provides, will provide heaven or salvation is the end result. And if you believe this, they have faith to believe it. So again, what this is telling us, I'll read it again. For those who are lacking spiritually and physically in the experience that Jehovah Jireh will provide, meaning God provides, and heaven or salvation, that is what the end result is. So we should, that is the blessing that we're looking at receiving from this verse or this saying that Jesus gave to the people on the mountain during the Sermon on the Mount. Now let's go to the next instruction, and we're going to go back to Luke chapter 6, verse 21, and this is what the instruction we should take from the reading of the text. Blessed ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. That is, again, in parable, and we are looking at those who are hungry for godliness. That is what blessing that Jesus is talking about. And this is the compliment. We're going to go to Psalms 37, and we're going to look at verse 23 through 26. Psalms 37, verse 23 through 26, and this is connecting the dot. This is the comparison and the agreement that the Old Testament is giving us for what Jesus said. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So that is what the psalmist is saying that connects the dot, that the blessing, that those that the righteousness will, that it, will continue after the break.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Paul says, take a stand, withstand, and then stand in the evil day. And believe me, the battle for your soul begins in your mind. If Satan can control your thoughts, he'll control your destiny. Because I assure you, when Satan sees you walking down the road like this, he will totally destroy you. You can't possibly survive in your own strength. Why are so many Christians decimated right now? Why are they just absolutely falling out? Because they don't have the strength to endure. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. That means put on this whole armor. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can get nothing from heaven without faith. Salvation comes by faith. Healing comes by faith. Peace, love, and joy come by faith. You are no match for the Prince of Darkness. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you are more than a conqueror. You can look the devil in the eye and say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Get out of my life. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my home. Get away from my children. Get away from my health. The power and the anointing of God are with me. And I am the conqueror here. Resist. Steadfast in the faith. The translation is fight him and fight him every day. Resist him and resist him every day. James writes, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Take a stand means you refuse to be intimidated by Satan, who comes as a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The truth is not something. The truth is someone. That someone is Jesus Christ. And when you know him, you have the truth, and you walk in the truth, and you joy in the truth, and you rejoice with truth that is unspeakable and unshakable, because Christ is the solid rock, the cornerstone, precious and elect in Zion. He's not trying to be truth. He is the truth. I want to put on the whole armor of God and come out fighting with fresh fire, that I can be counted worthy to be numbered among the New Testament saints.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, I was a little distracted momentarily, and I want to go back to the instruction as it is read, blessed ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. All right, now the connection to that was the Old Testament, Psalms 37, verse 23 through 26, and verse 25 is the verse that connects the dot. It says, I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's the connection. And of course, we want to emphasize Jesus is talking in a parable, and he's talking about those who hunger for godliness. He's not talking about those who hunger for the world. Okay, now this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Again, Jehovah Jireh, meaning God provides, and the blessing is that whatever circumstances you are in, if you will be content with it during the experience, you will have what you need. That is the significance. Blessed are ye that hunger, for ye shall be filled. So those who are content with their situation that they are in, that God is going to bless them if they are in godliness, not in worldliness, but in godliness. Okay, so that's what we should be responding to. Now let's go to the next instruction. It is, we're going back to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 21. We're back to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 21 because these instructions that Jesus gave on the Mount are so significant. Luke chapter 6, verse 21, and this is the instruction that we're looking at as I read it. Blessed are ye that weep, ye shall laugh. This is exactly verbatim what the instruction says. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And what we are talking about, Jesus is saying those who were looking for Messiah to come, that is those who are weeping, looking for the new age. And now they're the blessing because he has come, then they will have joy. And that joy comes from the Holy Ghost, which we receive when we receive him through baptism, the love, the joy, the peace. That is what Jesus is referring to. Now let's go to Psalms, back to Psalms. We're going to go to Psalms 30. And we're going to see how David the King illustrates this in his song that he gave to the Israelites. Psalms 30, verse 4 and 5. This is what the Old Testament says. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is light. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And what David is indicating is that when all is said and done, even though you're suffering, if you are looking for the Messiah or if you're godly, then you shall receive the joy that comes with that. And this is an addition to what that should mean spiritually in our lives. This is what it should mean. That the knowledge of good and evil causes our weeping. But if we and when we receive the knowledge of everlasting life, you will enter into the joy of the Lord God. That is key. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, what happened was after Adam had eaten the tree, the fruit from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, he was kicked out with Eve out of the garden. And the knowledge of everlasting life, that tree, he could not eat from. Today, we've been given a reprieve. So even though we're saddled with the heritage of Adam and Eve with the knowledge of good and evil, once we get to eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of everlasting life, that's Jesus Christ, then there will be joy. So that's the key. Okay, I would like now, there may be some new listeners out there because of a program that I did recently on Facebook, And I would like to state, staying in accordance with my mission statement for this program, that everyone be exposed to salvation. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says in 2 Peter, verse 1, 12 and 13, those are the verses, or I should say 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, that being said, here are some of the highlights of this program's description and format. One, the stressing of the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical aspect. Because Jesus the Christ said it best, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So all of what I'm trying to teach is on a spiritual note more than a physical note, even though we know the physical does become impact by the spiritual. The second is drills and exercises according to or according with standing on the promises of God and Jesus Christ. And we're talking about one of the drills tonight for the Sabbath rest. Number three, using the Old Testament and the New Testament to compare with and to substantiate each other with the other. I think that is critical because Jesus said that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And with that, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms is what Jesus told his apostles that he taught them because he had to that effort. And that's why I think comparing the old with the new substantiates each of the lessons or instructions that I'm giving. Number four, the use of scripture to validate opinions. And that's why scripture is used to substantiate all of the instructions and lessons that I give. And our number five is our mission statement. And that is that this is for everybody, not just for the Christians. This is meat for God's creation unto salvation. Now, as the minutes are waning, I'm going to quickly review what we went over today in case someone was that came in late and didn't hear all of this study. This is what we looked at, how to handle all temptation. We learned from Jesus that we use scripture to do that. And the declaration of our ministry, we realize that today the confession of our faith, that we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and through him is salvation, and that is the beginning of our ministry with him, and of course performing all of the other words of his that he gave us in the Gospels. Demonstrating faith is key to our deliverance. We know that faith without works is dead. We know that it is impossible to please God without faith, and that is critical in what we are accomplishing today in our work. That if you don't believe it, you can't achieve it. The next instruction was the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. We know that that is more than true, that Jesus came and he gave us not only a new dispensation, but because of the...
joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
And as we say goodnight to all of our listeners out there, remember what Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.